לא, שניים, שניים.
טוב, שירות.
So now we have Rabbi Eli Brackman, who's going to be speaking about Jacob Barnett, Isaac Casaubon, and forced apostasy. Rabbi Eli Brackman is the director of Chabad of Oxford and has written discussed a number of topics relating to Maimonides and the history of the Jews of Oxford. He's going to present this this theme here. Thank you.
We have, I think, 5-10 minutes. So please join us. Here's our handouts. Topic of this talk is Jacob Barnett, Isaac Casaubon, and forced apostasy, related to Rabbi Rappaport's series of talks on the Talmud. So the history of the Jews of Oxford includes many important figures who contributed enormously to academic work at the university, but a less known fact is that many of the people who, many Jews who came to Oxford were not actually Jews when they came to Oxford. They were either converted to Christianity, or as we know, most of the history of the university did not allow Jews to study here at all until 1856. St. Merton College was founded in 1263, but Jews only began studying here in 1856. Nevertheless, we know many Jews did study here throughout the period, even before the readmission of the Jews in 1656, and certainly before 1856. For example, Isaac Hamadana in the 17th century, Moritz Steinschneider, Zelig Neumann, these were identified Jews. But then there were also Jews who were not identified as Jews, and this talk will focus very briefly on a particular Jew who came to Oxford from Germany, came to England from Germany. His name was Jacob Barnett, and he didn't convert to Christianity, but he wanted to convert to Christianity, but he changed his mind in the last moment. So I'm going to present this most fascinating figure called Jacob Barnett, his story, and then try to look at his considerations, why he chose to convert, and mainly why he chose not to convert. So in the biography of French Huguenot scholar Isaac Casaubon, 1559-1614, Walter Farga Hook, his biographer, writes about a Jew called Jacob Barnett, known as Jacob the Jew, who came to England from Germany before the readmission of the Jews to England by Oliver Cromwell. Jacob somehow gained a position at the university here to teach Hebrew about 1609, where he met this French Huguenot scholar Isaac Casaubon. Casaubon says he was deeply impressed by the great knowledge, the vast knowledge of the Talmud and Midrash of this Jacob the Jew, Jacob Barnett. He says he never met such a learned Jew before. He employed him as his personal teacher of Hebrew at Oxford. Isaac Casaubon subsequently left Oxford to London, and he took Jacob with him as his personal tutor. For some reason, Casaubon was unable to keep Jacob any longer, and he says he's unable to keep him any longer as his inmate. We find that Jacob then intimated to Casaubon he wanted to convert to Christianity. He'll be willing to accept Christian baptism, and he'll gain then a teaching position at the university here. So to assist Jacob, Casaubon sent letters of recommendation to the Regius Professor of Hebrew at the University of Oxford. The Vice Chancellor of the university was notified, the King was notified that this incredibly learned Jew, Jacob, was willing to convert to Christianity. A great ceremony was prepared for this baptism of Jacob the Jew at the University Church of St. Mary's on High Street. However, the day before the ceremony was due to take place, Jacob changed his mind and fled the town on foot. The proctors instructed the university police to pursue Jacob, and they captured him on the road to London. On the London Road. they brought him back to Oxford. They imprisoned him in the Bacada prison at Oxford's North Gate, which is by Core Market. It used to be over Core Market by St. Michael's Tower. With short notice, we're told, impressing all the people present, the preacher of the University Church changed his sermon from a sermon of a baptism of a Jew to the perfidy of the Jews. While in prison, Jacob was subjected to taunting and torture by university academics and officials. It was only when Casaubon later on came to his defense, saying that to decline baptism in England is not a crime, and therefore he shouldn't be imprisoned. Anyway, he was let out from prison, he was banished from the university precinct, and according to some people, particularly Marcus Roberts, he was banished from England altogether. We find out that Jacob becomes an advisor to the French court, as a Jewish advisor to the French court, so he had to leave England. So the question we're going to pose over here is, why did Jacob convert to Christianity? Why did Jacob, who chose to convert to Christianity, change his mind at the last moment? And he fled only to be caught and imprisoned. Was it just his inability to confront the formidable choice to go through the change in religion? Or was there practical circumstance that, from a Jewish point of view, as a great learned Jew, made him change his mind? In addition, why would he flee on foot, when surely he'd been aware that he would have been chased after, pursued, and he would be caught? Why did he choose to flee? So I'm going to argue that it's based on his broad knowledge of Jewish law, he had these considerations which led to his behavior. The assumption of this story is that the conversion of Jacob, as countless others during the Middle Ages, was out of a degree of compulsion. That's what we're going to argue. We know that Jews had no rights in Christian Europe for centuries. Before the 13th century, before the expulsion, their right to reside in England was only to the extent of their usefulness to the king, providing funding and so on. Between 1290 and 1656, they had no rights at all. In many countries, they had no rights. So a Jew living in England during that period had no rights to exist at all as a Jew. Jewish law recognizes the mitigating circumstances of compulsion when considering the culpability of a person violating Jewish law. So if a person is threatened with his life that he must violate Jewish law, he may violate and not be killed. However, we know there are three cardinal sins, the Talmud says, that a person must surrender their life for. That is adultery, and murder. So idolatry, in the case of Jacob, was one of the cases he should have surrendered his life for and not be prepared to convert, even if it would be under duress. So why did Jacob choose to convert? He was ready to violate this law. We know, according to Jewish law, that if a person does convert under duress, he is not punishable. So although he should surrender his life and not serve idolatry or convert to Christianity, according to those who say Christianity is idolatry, but if he does go ahead and serve idolatry, under duress, because it's under duress, he is not punishable. He is not punishable. And we find this in the case of rape and so on. He's forbidden, but one is not punishable when it's done under duress. This is a dispute in the Middle Ages, in the 13th century. Rabbi Moses Akoin of Lanel, a commentary on Maimonides, argues on Maimonides regarding this point. Maimonides says he is not punishable, a person is not punishable if he serves idolatry under duress. But he argues, Rabbi Moses Akoin of Lanel, 13th century, says if the person is forewarned and witnesses, he is punishable. His view is disputed by the Meiri, Rabbi Nachum Meiri, 1249-1310, and later on in the 16th century, Rabbi Joseph Cairo clearly defends Maimonides and rejects the view of Moses HaKohen, and Joseph Cairo, who is almost the final, probably the final, has a final say on this matter, concludes that a person is not punishable if they serve idolatry under duress. So there's no punishment involved. So based on this, Jacob was aware that he is not punished if he goes through with this conversion. Nevertheless, he chose not to convert. So the question is, why did he change his mind? What we're going to say is, although he's not punishable for serving idolatry under duress, the question is what his status is as a Jew when he does convert to Christianity. Would he be an apostate, or is he a forced convert? Does he retain his Jewishness, his Jewish identity? So Jewish law distinguishes between the positive injunction to surrender one's life in the face of forced conversion to sanctify God's name and the violation of the negative law not to serve idolatry. So there's a fundamental distinction between neglecting the positive injunction to surrender one, sanctify God's name, and violating the negative commandment, you should not serve idolatry, in the Ten Commandments. So in the case of, in our case, when it's under duress, when the person is being forced to serve idolatry under duress, he may be neglecting the commandment to sanctify God's name, but he's not violating the law to serve idolatry. So being forced to serve idolatry does not count as serving idolatry, because he's doing it under compulsion. Nevertheless, if a person is forced to serve idolatry, there's a distinction between private compulsion to serve idolatry and public compulsion. If a person is forced in public, in a public ceremony, to serve idolatry, then although the person may not be an apostate, as the Jewish law establishes, but he's not only neglecting the positive injunction to sanctify God's name, he's also profaning God's name in public. So Jacob would have been aware of this basic text of the Talmud, that although he's neglecting, in the case of the public ceremony in university church, where he'll be having this public baptism ceremony, he would be, first of all, neglecting sanctifying God's name, but he would also be profaning God's name. He'll be violating the biblical law, Lo sachal lo shem kashi, do not profane my holy name. And therefore, possibly, he was not prepared to, when he realized his conversion ceremony was going to be in public, when he intimated to Jacob the Jew that he would be willing to convert, he thought it'll be a private conversion with the priest and with the bishop, whatever, and it won't be a public event. Therefore, he'll be only neglecting sanctifying God's name. But when he came to, a few days before, he heard, I guess, in the university newspaper that they're planning this incredible big ceremony at the university church for this Jacob the Jew to convert, with the vice chancellor present and so on. Such a public ceremony would be causing him to violate not just not sanctifying God's name, but also it'll be profaning God's name, violating the negative commandment, you should not profane God's name. Finally, what I want to point out is, and this will be the concluding point, I'd like to argue that in truth, he was not so much concerned about this distinction between public and private ceremony. Let's say he would have known the Talmudic concept of the distinction between violating the positive commandment, you should sanctify God's name, and violating the negative, do not profane God's name. But ultimately, in both cases, he would not be an apostate. Even if he went through with a public conversion to Christianity, in the university church, in front of the entire university, profaning God's name, yes, but he would not be, according to Jewish law, an apostate, because it was under duress. So the question is there further consideration why he changed his mind in the last moment? And what's interesting is he didn't only change his name, but he fled the university, he fled the city, and so on. And that act of fleeing the city is a statement which seems to indicate that his concern wasn't just not to profane God's name, which is a subtle distinction between the positive and the negative, to sanctify or not to profane, but he was concerned about becoming an apostate. And that he wasn't unwilling to do. And the basis for this argument is that we find in Maimonides, in the law of Yesodei HaTorah, in the end of the paragraph, if you can see, the last page in bold, where it says, one who could, however, escape and flee from under the power of a wicked king and fails to do so is like a dog who returns to lick his vomit. He is considered as one who worships false gods willingly. He will be prevented from reaching the world to come and will descend to the lowest levels of Gehenna. This is the end of this reading of about the false idolatry. So Maimonides says that a person must flee if they can flee. This is found also in Egeret Hashmad, and it's also found in a few other works. In the Me'iri, it mentions this, and it's referenced in the Tashbats, Rabbi Shimon ben Samach, Doran, 1361-1444. This text appears in going all the way back to the 14th century of Maimonides. He quotes Maimonides regarding this particular text. So let's look at Jacob for a moment. Jacob, the fact that he fled Oxford indicates he thought he could flee from Oxford. And if he could flee from Oxford and he does not flee, according to the text of Maimonides, he would become an apostate. So he must have had this consideration, is it really forced? In other words, maybe if he stays, he will be forced to go through with the conversion. But since he saw the possibility he possibly can flee, if he does not flee, according to Maimonides, he would become an apostate. So with this in mind, he fled, because he changed his mind and fled, because the line he drew was he does not want to become an apostate. He might go through the act of conversion to gain a position at the university. Many Jews did. Jacob Wolfgang and others did this. but that does not make a person an apostate, because it'll be considered under duress or unintentional. But final point is, what's interesting is, in Oxford's manuscript of the Mishnah Torah, the Huntington 80 edition over here, which is the most authentic edition of the Mishnah Torah, the Book of Mada and Ava, because at the end of it, it has Maimonides' own signature. So the Frankel edition, which we have in our library, of Mada and Ava, is straight word for word from the Huntington 80 edition, and because it has Maimonides' signature on it, it's most authentic, because its signature verifies authenticity of that version of Maimonides, of the Mishnah Torah, of those two books. It's online, harambam.org. They put the whole manuscript online. In this manuscript, this clause about fleeing is not there. It's omitted, and the Berlin manuscript is also not there, implying that Maimonides, at least in this edition, would possibly not make a distinction between fleeing and not fleeing. Even if you could flee but don't flee, compulsion is still compulsion, therefore you do not become apostate at all. Somehow later on, this paragraph is added, and in the printed edition it's in brackets, in some editions it's in brackets. Where it comes from, I'm not sure how it got in there. Possibly it was drawn from some editors of the manuscripts who thought it should be in there. The Me'iri mentions it. In 14th century, the Tashbats, Shimon ben Samach already quotes Maimonides regarding that paragraph about fleeing. In the Egeret Hashmad, the law, letter of apostasy, Maimonides does talk about fleeing, that one must flee, the Jews of Spain must flee. If they can, if they don't, they are bordering on apostasy. So it's interesting that Jacob in Oxford fled based on his view that one must flee if one can, otherwise one would possibly become an apostate, and he was not willing to do that. But actually, in the manuscript in the city, doesn't actually have that paragraph. But nevertheless, even if it doesn't have the paragraph in the manuscript edition itself, Maimonides in the Geret Hashmad does certainly indicate that one must flee if one can flee. And if not, one is bordering apostasy. And based on that, Jacob was correct in fleeing if he was able to. But he subsequently was unable to because he was schlepped back to Oxford by the police and was put into prison. So his fleeing was most likely just a demonstration of intent that he was not going through with apostasy. He was just doing it as a lip service. He would have been aware that they would have chased after him on foot, fleeing Oxford on the road to London. It was almost predictable that he would be caught and brought back. Big ceremony was waiting for him. He was demonstrating that had he not fled or attempted to flee, then he could have possibly been held accountable as an apostate, because why didn't he flee?
In fact, he never converted.
Later on, he was put into prison. He intimated to the university officials that he did want to convert, but they rejected his further interest in converting. Colorful fella. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah. Can I ask a slightly pedantic question?
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought apostasy was, in effect, being neutral about the existence of God. Here, all he was doing was potentially swapping one religion for another religion.
No, that's what apostasy means. Well, agnosticism.
Sorry?
Agnosticism.
Oh, sorry, you're right.
Apostasy is
confusing agnosticism.
Yeah. Abandoning Jewish faith.
Can I make a point? Maimonides was himself a forced convert to Islam at one point in his life.